Starting a new series today, and it's going to be based out of Exodus chapter 20, and this is the Ten Commandments. So let's read this real quick. Exodus 20, starting in verse 2. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other gods but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations for those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigner living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Amen. Are y'all ready for the word today?
After we dismiss Crossroads, our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. A couple things as they're leaving I want to say. We're taking on a project, and it seems like we're always taking on projects, but one of the reasons that the church exists is to help people. How many of you know that the church is about people? It's not about buildings, it's not about organizations, it's not about denominations, it's not about chairs and musical instruments and styles of music. It's about God and people. That's what it's about. So we got a project, and this will be an ongoing project for the school year. Some of you read maybe in the paper that some of the schools do feeding, where they send food home with children on the weekends, because you know there's a lot of kids in our society that go hungry. They don't have enough to eat, and that's, you know, in America that's a sad thing. I don't know about you, but I eat more than my share. We talked about that last week, didn't we? So moving right along, we all are pretty healthy, and we all have seems a lot to eat. But there are kids, and it's sad that there are children that go hungry. So we are going to adopt Central School. And let me tell you why we're going to adopt Central School. Because my sister-in-law, Becky, works there, and we have a connection there where we can channel stuff through her and make sure that those kids get the backpacks that they need to take home on the weekends for food. So we gave her a Walmart card, and she's going shopping after a while to get enough stuff for this week, so that kids, they can send food home with kids. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you every week, as you go shopping, to pick up something extra for these children. Now, we're going to be posting online. How many of you are members of the Believers Community Church Facebook page? If you're not, you need to send a friend request, and we will approve you. You know, the only ones I don't approve are the ones that are girls that don't have much clothes on. So if you send one with picture with not much clothes on, I'm probably not going to approve you. I've made the mistake of approving a friend one time, and the next thing you know, I'm getting requests to go to her website. and that don't work. My wife frowns on that kind of stuff. So if, I shouldn't have said that. Help me, Lord. Anyway, if you're not, we'd be glad to prove it. And we'll post that on our Facebook page, and I'll post it on my Facebook page. You know, if you're not a friend with me, same thing. But we'll make that available so that you can bring food. Now, they don't send them home with food that they have to cook. It's usually peanut butter and crackers and Pringles and stuff that kids can open and eat. So, you know, I just think of the scripture where Jesus says, "I was hungry and you fed me not." And I don't want to be guilty of that, do you? So I think we'll be able to do that. So let's, watch our Facebook pages. And if you have any questions, if you don't have Facebook or you don't have internet, call the office, 793-8365, and ask Miss Gail. Miss Gail's, let me just tell you in case you don't know, Miss Gail's hours are Monday through Thursday from 8 till 2. And that's her office hours. So you can call between those times and she'll tell you what we need. And we'll just meet this need and be a blessing to the kids at Central School. Amen. Amen. And if there are other schools that need to do it, I'll talk to some pastors and get their church to adopt a different school so that we can meet this need throughout. So that need will be met. I want to pay tribute to a minister that went to be with the Lord yesterday. He's been a great influence in our town. Nancy told me that he baptized her, and I think did her and Jerry's wedding, if I'm not mistaken. But Brother Ralph Wallace passed away last night. I mean, how many of you remember Brother Wallace? I think he was 90-something years old. Church of Christ minister. He loved God. He loved his church. He loved people. Loved his family. And I just, you know, when you have an icon in our town that has just given himself for our city and our area, he was, they don't have pastors, they have ministers. He was at, I believe he was at Harrison Street, then I believe he was at North Heights. He served at Charlotte at the Church of Christ there, and he would go every week at John 3:16, if I'm not mistaken, and he would teach the guys out there. And he was... In his later years, he was so open to just people in general, and so I just wanted to honor him today, and just remember to pray for his family this week, and all the people and the churches that he's ministered to, because their hearts are heavy. But I know that they're going to grieve, but they're going to celebrate his life, and I just think it's a great thing when men of God give their lives for the town that they lived in. I remember Brother Ralph was a minister, Wanda, when you and I were in school way back in the Stone Age in the 1960s. We went to school with his kids, and I remember when his son played in the band. And so we just wanted to honor him for a moment. And okay, now to the task at hand. When you think about the Ten Commandments, a lot of times is what we think about are the rules. And it's, you know, Joe read off the list. Those are the ten rules. Well, we're going to entitle this series for the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments, but we're going to call it the unveiling, Love to the Power of Ten. Love to the Power of Ten. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the Ten Commandments, I don't really think about love. I think about rules. I think about rules. And it seems like the Jewish nation made it about rules and law and keeping the law. And what they had a tendency to do is that they used that as a standard to judge other people. To judge other people. But we're going to look at it from a different standpoint, because we're going to go to the New Testament and we're going to see what Jesus had to say about the commandments. So I want to go, first of all, to Matthew chapter 22. And we are going to talk about the Ten Commandments, okay? We're going to divide them up. There's three that talks about our relationship with God. There are two that talks about us, ourselves. Then there's five that talks about our relationship with our fellow man. But we're not going to look at them as rules. We're going to look at them from a different perspective. So somebody came to Jesus one time in Matthew 22, in verse 36, and asked him the question. I think this was probably one of the Pharisees. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in all of the law of Moses? And I'm sure that he had in his mind that Jesus was going to pick out one of the Ten Commandments and going to say, this is the greatest one. You know, this is it. And probably this had been debated among the religious people of that day. Which one was the greatest of the Ten Commandments or the commandments? But Jesus didn't go with any of the ten. In fact, he quoted another Old Testament passage that's found several times in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It just keeps saying this several different times as it comes back over this, because people have a tendency to make things about rules. God has a tendency to make things about love. And sometimes we see love as a weak thing. But love is not a weak thing. We're going to get into that. So they asked Jesus, which is the greatest of the commandments in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, you know, when I thought about this, and you know, I looked at this and I thought, okay, loving God is first. And then, number two, way down lower than that, is loving people. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, loving God and one like unto it that is equally important is loving your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on to say, on these two commandments hang all of the laws and all of the statutes and all of the things that the prophet said. They hang on these two things. So when we say love to the power of 10, we're looking at the commandments in a different light, a different perspective. I want to go on record as saying, I believe in the 10 commandments. Thank you, Doreen. I want to say it again. I believe in the 10 commandments. I think our problem has been perspective. And we need to go back and we need to adjust perspective so that we see these and rightly divide the word of truth so that we can walk in it the way that we're supposed to from the right standpoint. And to do that, we're going to look at another verse that Jesus said. And he said this to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now here's something that we have going on in our society today. We kind of have two camps. Well, we got more than two camps, but two extreme camps. On one side, it's all about the rules. Some of you were raised in a church where it's all about the rules. You don't, you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't. If you do, then you don't go to heaven. You know, you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't. If you have an evil thought, you're going to hell, you know, and it's all about the rules. And then on the other side, we got this thing, well, it's all about love. It don't matter. Nothing else matters. It's just all about love. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep There you go. Obey my commands. If you love me, obey my commandments. Now, I want to point out something here, and I want you to look at this, and I want you to think about it. Because I want you to put this in your pipe and smoke it for a while. No. Talking about the right kind of pipe, okay? The right kind of pipe. This is your, in other words, meditate on this, okay? Think about this. I'm not talking about a tobacco pipe or a water pipe or a, what do they call that other one? Crack pipe. There you go. How would you know about that? Okay. Just going on here. Notice what he said first. If you love me. If you love me. You will obey my commandments. There's a comma in there. And this represents two different schools of thoughts. And I'm going to ask you the question, which side of the comma do you live on? Okay? Because they're different. Because most people think, if I obey his commandments, then that's how I prove that I love him. But there's a problem with that. It sounds the same, but the problem is perspective. See, it's possible to do all of the right things, but not love. See, you can do right things for the wrong motive, and the wrong motive would be not love. I know lots of guys that say to women, "You're so pretty." I mean, they say all of the right things. But their perspective is not where it needs to be. Enough said? Okay. Perspective is important. Perspective is entirely important. Because you can say the right thing, you can do the right thing, but not do it for the right reason, and it doesn't produce an eternal result. Are you tracking with me? Are we on the same page together? We need to be, because we're going to approach the commandments not from the standpoint of the legalistic side. We're going to approach it from the love side. And I'm going to ask you the question, which side of the comma do you live on? Because if Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. But just because you obey commands doesn't necessarily mean that you love. See, what needs to happen is everything that we do in life needs to come out of the heart. Because Christianity is all about the heart. See, the tendency of the wrong side of the comma is a works-based religion. Most of the world religions are work-based. That, you know, if you're going to love God and if you're going to go to heaven, then you got to do all of these things. Number one, number two, number three. And if you mess up on them, guess what? You're not going to go to heaven. It's works based. The other side is heart based. It's grace based. It's faith based. And it's important. Both sides are important, because James dealt with that controversy. Because there's a lot of people saying, you know, I just love God. And there's nothing about their life looks like that they love God. It's a thing of the mouth, and it's not a thing of the heart. Okay? And James says, you know, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So we have to have a proper balance of things to get this Christian walk right. But the main motivation, we need to start on the right, on the proper side of the comma. If you love me, what is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your mind, and all of your strength. Doreen was talking about we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. That's what that's saying. You need to love God with your spirit, your heart, with your mind, that's your thinking faculties, your emotions, and with your body, with your actions. Romans tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Heard a preacher say one time, we need people to die for Jesus. We need people that will live for Jesus, for crying out loud. But anyway, so we want to be on the proper side of the comma. We want it to be a thing of love. But sometimes we have to understand that love produces a fruit. It produces a fruit. Okay, I'm going to read another verse. And it's found in 1 John 5:3. Loving God means keeping His commandments. It almost sounds like I've just contradicted myself. But look at after that comma. And His commandments are not burdensome. Have you ever got up and said, got to go to church. If I don't go to church, they're going to talk about me. Rah. If I don't go to church, then God's not going to love me anymore. If I don't go to church, if I don't pay my tithe, if I don't. And you know, we get in this thing and everything just becomes a burden to us. Jesus said one of the ways that you can gauge your love for God is that you're able to obey Him and it's not a burden. It's back to the thing of perspective. Where does it come from? It comes out of the heart. It comes out of the heart. It doesn't necessarily come first out of action. It doesn't come out of duty. It doesn't come out of burden. It comes out of love. You know, guys, if you really, really, really love your wife, it's pretty easy to do things for her. It's just... Come on, girls. Now, you girls must be asleep. Really. If you love somebody, because you know sometimes when you have to change the poopy diaper, and I'm not talking about on your spouse. I'm talking about, well, it could apply. But I'm thinking about your children now. Okay, I'm spaghetti and I need to get in the box. When you love somebody, you take care of your children. And it's not always a joy to change the diaper, but because you love it, you do it. And it's really not a burden. It's not a burden to you. You do it out of love. You do it out of love. And this is kind of what this is talking about. I have heard people say, well, you know, this New Testament is so much greater than the Old Testament. It is. It's really good. Because under the New Testament, it's easier. Under the Old Testament, they had the Ten Commandments, and they're restrictive, and they're hard. But under the New Testament, it's just so much easier. Really? Really? Let me read something to you. Now, you guys are going to love this one, because I'm fixing to nail your hides to the wall. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:27. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. We read that a while ago. Joe read that a while ago. Do not commit adultery. Okay? But Jesus said, but I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's easier? You think Jesus was being easier? I don't think so. Because Jesus took it right back to where Christianity is about. It's not about the letter. It's about the intent of the heart. And he didn't say that lust will lead to adultery. He says when you lust, you've already committed adultery. Now let me just say, I don't know any man that is not guilty of that. By that definition, and it's Jesus' definition about adultery, I don't know any man that has not committed that. You know, I remember years ago, Jimmy Carter ran for president. And you know, he was the one that talked about being born again. And they asked him something about that. And he said, you know, I've committed adultery. I've looked on a woman with lust, and I'm guilty of that. And boy, the press just made a big deal out of that. But what he's saying is, as a Christian, I have not done everything right. But this begins with the heart. In the Old Testament, it didn't begin with the heart because their hearts weren't changed by the blood of Jesus. In the New Testament, guess what? We're born again. And Christianity becomes a thing of the heart. And the bottom line thing of the heart is that it's supposed to come out of love. See, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, talking to believers. So it's not like that we just get a pass on all of the stuff over here and think, well, you know, it's just all about love. It's just all about love. No. It's about the heart. And what we see the Ten Commandments are, they're principles that define what love really looks like. That's why we call this series Love to the Power of Ten. We're going to see what the love of God looks like. See, what does it look like to love God? Do we get to make that up? Can we just say, you know, I love God? Jesus told a group one time, says, you know what? You've loved me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. See, we can love in word, but what really counts is when we love indeed. When you look at your brother and he's naked and he's cold and he's hungry and you say, be blessed and be filled and don't give him something to eat or something to wear, how can you say the love of God dwells in you? See, the Christian walk, it's not easier than it was in the Old Testament. Because we have been given a new heart. And as believers, we have a stewardship. I love that word, stewardship. You know what stewardship is? That's where you manage something for someone else who owns it. Because you don't own your own body. You don't own your own mind. You don't own your own spirit. It belongs to God when you become a believer in Jesus. You become a steward of that. You get to manage that. And the dominant thing in your heart is to be love. And what does that look like? What does it look like to love God? It's not me making up the rules. I'm going to say something. I'm just going to contradict myself and then I'm going to straighten it out. It don't really matter what I believe. It doesn't really matter what you believe. I'm not going to be judged by what I believe. And you're not going to be judged by what you believe. You're going to be judged by what God says. See, you don't get to make the rules. You don't get to set. You can do that if you want to, but that's not how you'll be judged. You'll be judged by God's truth. That's a little tougher. That is not politically correct. That is not all inclusive. I understand that. But that's not what our Bible teaches. It's not what it teaches. It says that you've been given a new man. You're a new man. You have a new nature. You're a new creature. And you're responsible to manage that by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we will give an account for our stewardship. So what does it look like to love God? What does it look like to love myself? What does it look like to love my fellow man? We don't get to make the rules. Now, let me go back and say, it is important what you believe. It is important what I believe. It's important that we believe what God says. Now, I contradicted myself and then I straightened it out, okay? Don't go away from here and say, well, you know what, I can believe anything I want to. Yeah, you can do that. But it'll mess you up. We need to be striving to see what God says. We need to know what love says. And love says a lot. John hung around with Jesus and he said something else that shows you how much easier the New Testament is than the old one. He says in 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life within them. You know what they're saying? It's about the heart. It starts in the heart. Now, I want to debunk something here because I had to do this in first service. I really better do it in this one. So, what you're saying, preacher, this is for the guys mostly. If I look on a woman and lust after I've already committed adultery in my heart, shouldn't I just go ahead and do it? Well, let me ask you something. Turn to your wife right now and ask her what she thinks about that. That is not what we're saying. It's just as bad to think it as it, or to do it as it is to think it, or think it as it is to do it. No, 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 no. You don't have to live that out. What you do is when you have that thought, you repent, you get back in love, and then you start thinking pure thoughts. You can control your inner man. That's one of the things that God has given you the ability to do when you got born again, is to control your inner man. And you need to get yourself to the place that you can control your thoughts. And you can do that, and they couldn't do that in the Old Testament, because they were not born again as you and I. I want to end the service with a picture. In the 7th century, there was a bishop in Gaza, and his name was Dorotheos. Dorotheos. And he called this the circle of life. And he said, now I just want you to look at this for a second. He said, in every life there is a focus. And the center focus is supposed to be God. Man lives on the outer circle. He begins on the outer circle. Then you see the spokes that are leading to the center. Excuse me. He said, as we begin to focus on what we're supposed to focus on, which is God, we begin to draw closer to Him. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. The more you focus on Him, you focus on His words, you focus on His will, you focus on that, your walk with God gets closer and closer and closer. Okay? Do you notice what's happening? Each of those little arrows represent a person and their walk with God. What happens when we, as a group, as a church, all begin to focus on God? We start drawing closer and closer to God. But look, the arrows get closer and closer. As we focus on what we're supposed to, not only will we get closer to God, but we'll get closer to one another also. And that's why Jesus said that the first commandment is to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. The second one is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. He showed us what happens as we begin to do that. It's almost an automatic thing. The further we stay away from God, the further we stay away from one another. That's why I say this. Now listen to this very carefully. I say this all the time. Isolation is the enemy's greatest tool. It's the devil's greatest tool. Somebody will come and they'll get involved in church and they'll get offended or something and they isolate themselves from the body. You become an easy target for the enemy. You become an easy target for the enemy. That's why we need to manage our relationships. That's why we need to learn to practice forgiveness. We need to learn to release people. We need to learn to talk and to communicate together and learn how to get along, because when we focus on what we're supposed to focus on, not only are we going to get closer to God, we're going to get closer to one another. Amen. I want to ask my prayer team to come real quick. We're going to have some prayer time here. A couple things. First of all, we always want to give opportunity for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to come to Him. Jesus said, you must be born again. That is a must. You're not even capable of loving God and focusing on God the way that you should when you're not in a relationship with Him. And the way that we get into a relationship with Him is not by keeping the Ten Commandments. It's by accepting the one who did keep the Ten Commandments, who did fulfill the righteousness of the law. And when we accept that, He turns around and gives us a gift called right standing with God. And we can be right with God no matter how many of those commandments that we have broken. And let me say, probably in this crowd, probably all 10 of them have been broken by at least one person. I'm being funny. You didn't laugh. It's true. We've messed up. We need to fess up. So if you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, any one of these can pray with you where that's concerned. But if you have other needs also, we want to give place for that too. So as I begin to pray, you go ahead and respond and just begin to come. Nobody will judge you. Nobody will condemn you. I don't care who you are. Come and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for love. Thank you for the commandments. Thank you that we can find that balance in our lives, that we can love you from the heart and see the fruit that it produces in our life. Father, speak to people's hearts today that they might find you and know you in a real way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?